Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to 929, the weekly podcast that serves you some Monday morning inspiration and advice to help you win the week ahead. I'm your host, Ishan Akbar, and 929 is a podcast from Fiverr, the digital freelance marketplace. We're only 9 minutes and 29 seconds long, so please make sure you listen all the way to the end, as I've got an offer from Fiverr that could make your week just that bit better. Today, I'm talking to Pip Murray, the founder of Pip & Nut.
Pip & Nut is an award-winning, all-natural nut butter brand.
Pip's love for peanut butter drove her to start creating recipes in her kitchen, which led her to setting up the brand. But it's her love for learning that has kept her excelling in the business.
For me, it's super important to never stop learning, because I think it's important to always be trying to stretch yourself or build upon the knowledge you already have, because you never really know what you can and should achieve as an individual until you've really put yourself out there and go for it. So I think learning helps facilitate that journey.
How will Pip's enthusiasm for learning impact your week? Let's get stuck in with Pip. So having never ventured into business, having never made peanut butter before, you start doing it and you manage to raise kind of 120 grand in 9 days on Crowdcube. How did you kickstart that process and hit that target, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess by the time that was a kind of pre-revenue round. So at the time, I hadn't necessarily launched the brand, but I'd got it to a place where I'd found and figured out how to scale up the product. I'd kind of developed the recipes, tested them, packaging was ready to go, branding was all done. So I was kind of at the point of, right, I need to just go, but I need some money to just get the first production done and some money for the first year of business. And to be honest, I actually went to loads of angel investors and I couldn't find anyone that would fund it. I couldn't find one person that would give me the full 100, 120 grand that I was looking for to get out the door. And so it was kind of my last attempt, which doesn't sound particularly positive, but it was my last attempt, basically. And I thought, you know what, I can't find someone to give me the full whack, but maybe I can find 10 people to give me, you know, a proportion of it. And that's really was my approach. I thought crowdfunding for me was somebody that wasn't in business, didn't necessarily track record, would be perhaps an easier way to kind of get out the door. So I literally started speaking to friends and family, anyone that I knew might have a bit of spare change in their pocket, and started working on the pitch deck. So yeah, it was I guess with any crowdfunding, it funds within 7 days, but you're doing quite a lot of pre-work beforehand, getting everyone lined up that you think might want to put some money in. And once you've got a certain amount of, you know, normally they say about 40%. Once you've got 40% of your funding sort of filled by people that you know, the crowd then sort of takes over on those platforms. And that's kind of what I did.
Was there a common thread amongst potential investors in terms of why they weren't willing to throw money at this?
I honestly think, I mean, like, because it was so early stages, I hadn't even sold anything. I honestly think it was partially down to me. And I do think that when you do your first funding round, it's always on the entrepreneur, really. It's like, how much do people back you? And it's not to say that I wasn't credible. I just think I was probably a bit of a risk. I'd never done it before. And I didn't necessarily have like a previous business that I could say, look, I've done this before. Look, I can do it again. So I think people really bought into the product. They could see that the brand and the kind of product itself was on trends and there was a gap. But I think it was more that actually there's 100 grand is a lot of money, really. So I think that at that stage, I'd not proven myself or the business enough to show that someone was willing to put that amount in.
With everything going so, so brilliantly for Pip & Nut at the moment, is there any risk of you not learning things, or do you keep on learning? Is it possible to keep on learning? And how do you keep on top of that?
I definitely think there are moments, I think most founders, entrepreneurs will feel moments where your energy dips or you feel frustrated or you just feel a little bit like lost. And I find that's often when I've kind of either got a bit stuck in the trenches and I'm not really learning anything new. And I think that's is something which I've learned to kind of make sure that, for me at least, it's a really important thing that I'm sort of in embedding in my weeks or months that I've got projects that I feel like I'm stretched. So I think if I'm ever not feeling that way, it's also partially because maybe the business isn't pushing hard enough, because really every kind of step of the business, which is also why I enjoy running a company, is that, you know, our first year was a team of three of us. It was really scrappy and we were rolling up the sleeves and everything was brand new, whereas now it's a bigger company and actually a lot of my job is leading a team and really kind of figuring out how to make a company really sort of scale and thrive at a bigger scale. And so that brings a whole new set of like tools and learning that I've got. So yeah, if it ever does slow down, then I think that's probably the moment where I probably shouldn't be here anymore, because I really enjoy that kind of learning. But I think every step of the way you learn something different, and I think that's really powerful. And really sometimes you only realize that when you kind of look back and you think, oh okay, yeah, I definitely figured out something, then kind of worked through challenges that we had, and in a better place now.
We have a lot of listeners of the podcast who are at various different stages of setting up their own business, or maybe work in an organization and are thinking of setting up their own business. What's the best thing, or what are the best things you think someone can do if they've got a business idea and they want to action it? Because often that first step is the hardest, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think getting an idea out of your head and starting and moving with it as soon as you possibly can is ups your chances of actually doing the business, because I think you end up convincing yourself if you think sit on it too long that you actually don't really think it's a very good idea. So I guess my personal opinion is that you've got to, if you can, try and get out what a tech company would say is a minimal viable product. Food and drink, that's probably just making it in your kitchen. And for me, it's a bit it's a weird one, because when I started making up products in my kitchen, selling them at markets when I first started, I was a bit embarrassed. I was like, you know, this isn't really the brand that I had in mind. Like, I don't really want to be making this like every jar, filling it up with my spoon and stuff. Like, it felt a bit basic. But actually, I do think it was like a really significant moment for me to be able to actually dip my toe without taking all the risk of a fully scaled manufacturing supply chain, but really just like gave me some confidence to get going and gave me some feedback, and I could work on the recipes and at a micro level start to say, figure out to myself, did I want to commit my next indefinite amount of time to this product and brand? So I think really getting out of your head is really important.
What would you want people to learn from the success of Pip and Nut and where you've got to now?
I think I'd want people to learn that, this might sound bad, but that like average people can create brilliant businesses. And I think sometimes there's this like mystique around entrepreneurs or business owners that you're like this, you know, unicorn or something, but actually it's not that complicated. There are lots of different styles of leadership and business owners, and that if you have a little bit of a spark of like an idea, that you have the capability and ability to do it as good as anyone else. I don't know, I sometimes get a bit fed up with the idea that entrepreneurs are put on a bit of a pedestal, and I think it puts off a lot of people who actually I think could be brilliant business owners and create brilliant products and brilliant innovation.
Let's talk peanut butter then. What has been your favorite combination that you've come up with?
So I think we've actually got a product coming out in April, which I think is my favourite. And it's a collab with one of my favourite brands. It's a limited edition, which I'm not going to say what it is, you'll see it drop in April. And it is, I think, one of the tastiest products we've made.
Pip, thank you so much for talking to us on 929.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's resonated with you from this episode? Was it Pip's passion for learning or her willingness to just take the next step? I loved hearing Pip talk so candidly about the fact that anyone can achieve in business. What makes an entrepreneur isn't some magical, unquantifiable thing, just a good idea and the motivation to try, learn, and believe in yourself and your idea enough to just jump. And here's something else to help your week go that bit better. Fiverr are offering listeners to this podcast 20% off their next order. Just go to fiverr.com and use the discount code podcast22. Try it today and enjoy getting more stuff done. Thanks so much for listening. Hit follow and I'll be back with you next Monday morning. Until then, have a great week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.